Greetings and welcome to the Joy of Discovery radio program, brought to you by the family of the Claysburg Bible Church. I'm Pastor Keith Showalter, and it's great to be with you today on the Joy of Discovery. As I say every week, I will remind you again that if you would ever desire a copy of any of our programs, the CDs are free. All you need to do is write to us, and whenever you write, be sure to include the date of the program that you would desire. Write to Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Imler, Pennsylvania, 16655. And I'll get you that address again at the end of the program. Before we get into our program today and into our study, let us look to the Lord in prayer. Father, today we come to a very important study. They all are, Lord, no doubt. But today, we're going to talk about some different things that just need to be understood by all of us that are Bible students. And so, Father, I pray that your Spirit would be with us to instruct us and to help us to understand these truths, and Lord, that they would be communicated clearly from me to our listening audience. Thank you for all those that listen, and might your blessing be upon them. Maybe there's one today and they don't know Christ as Savior. Maybe today would be the day of salvation. That would be our prayer. Maybe there's one today and they're going through a real hard time. Lord, today's just a difficult day for them. Might there be something here that would uplift and encourage them? And Father, we pray it all now in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning, and good to be with you today. If you have a Bible, I'm going to ask you to open up to Revelation chapter 16, if you would. Revelation chapter 16, that's where we'll start here in a moment, because that's where we've arrived. It's going to be in this chapter that we're going to see the devastating bowl judgments of the Great Tribulation. We've been working our way through. This is study number 73, so we're in our 73rd week of radio program of the study of the book of Revelation. But we have arrived at these bowl judgments. And before we step into the study, there's a question I think that we need to consider. And the question is this: what are the purposes of these bowl judgments? Why are they poured out? What's the purpose behind all of this? Let me give you three things to think about. Number one, one of the purposes of these judgments is to pour out God's righteous wrath and judgment on the earth dwellers. We'll talk a little bit more about that today. Number two, it is to demonstrate the unrepentant nature of the earth dwellers who have received the mark of the beast. So we will see that as we go through these studies too, the unrepentant nature of these individuals. And number three, it's to usher in and to establish God's theocratic kingdom on the earth. Now, I want to comment on that third point for a little bit to help you to understand what that means. Whenever I say to usher in and establish God's theocratic kingdom on the earth, what we're about to see in these bowl judgments are judgments that are very similar to the plagues that came upon Egypt. When God brought the plagues on Egypt, he did so in order to bring his people out and to establish a theocracy, which is a government in which God rules. Israel was to go into Canaan, and they were there to purge the land of all the inhabitants that were embedded in the land who were worshipers of the false gods of Canaan. Deuteronomy 20, 16 and through 18, listen to what was said to these people. It says, "But of the cities of these people, which the Lord thy God doth give thee for an inheritance, thou shalt save alive nothing that breatheth. But thou shalt utterly destroy them, namely the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that they teach you not to do after all their abominations which they have done unto their God. So should ye sin against the Lord your God." So Israel was to go in and they were to completely exterminate those people that lived in the heart of the land that was to be divided for an inheritance. Now we know that Israel failed at this. They never purged the land as they were commanded to do so. They got lazy. They did not do that. They put the people to tribute instead. As a matter of fact, they did not want God to rule over them, but they wanted a king like all the other nations. In 1 Samuel 8, 4 through 7, we read this. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah, and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not after thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel, and they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord, and the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. So God's plan was for Israel to live in a theocracy where he ruled. He desired to be their king. But they rejected him. They didn't want him. They didn't want that theocracy. So the theocracy was never established back in the Old Testament. But it will be established at the end of the Great Tribulation period. I can assure you that. It will be established. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7, For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, and to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So, while Israel rejected the theocracy in the Old Testament, it will not be rejected and turned down at the end of the tribulation period. Isaiah speaks of how God himself will purge the land during the tribulation period. Isaiah 13, 9 says this, Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. So God's going to purge the land. When that kingdom gets established, what you and I need to understand is that there will not be one unsaved person enter that kingdom. Not one. Everybody that goes into the kingdom will be saved. Some with natural bodies, some with glorified bodies, but all saved. There's yet one more point I need to make before we get into this chapter. There are many people who refuse to see the seven bowl judgments as literal judgments. You need to know that they are literal judgments. To see them in a figurative way or to interpret them as allegory is very, very dangerous. Very dangerous. You cannot interpret these as allegory. You cannot see them as figurative. And I'm going to tell you why as we go on. If someone is going to interpret these judgments as figurative, then where are the boundaries? That's the question. Where are the boundaries? Listen to the words of Garland concerning literal interpretation. He says, When one cuts the tether of literal interpretation, all manner of strange understandings result, and it is nearly impossible for the actual text to adequately constrain the imagination of the interpreter. Also, it becomes impossible for God to describe cataclysmic judgments even if he wanted to, for interpreters would be forever reinterpreting them as symbolism or allegory. We believe the details given in the descriptions of the judgments point strongly in the direction of a literal interpretation, unquote. That's what we believe here at Claysburg Bible Church, too, by the way. We believe that the book of Revelation is literal unless God tells us in his word that it's not to be viewed as literal. And so if somebody is going to look at these judgments, these bowl judgments, and they're going to say, well, they're allegory, or if they're going to spiritualize them, that is extremely dangerous, because then there are no boundaries. There are no boundaries. What happens is the person with the greatest imagination ends up with the most exciting sermon. And you can go all over the place with that. We know that with God's word, there are many applications, but there is only one correct interpretation. If these judgments are taken figuratively, then the possibilities are endless for interpretation. You understand that? If they are taken as figurative and not as literal, the possibilities are endless for interpretation. The bottom line is that when that what we are about to look at will be literal judgments which will come at the end of the Great Tribulation period. And you cannot forget that. They are literal. They are literal judgments that are going to take place. First one, bowl number one, open source, watch 16:1, if you would. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. Stop right there. Let me just remind you that what we're about to see is the undiluted wrath of God poured out upon the earth and on the earth dwellers. In Psalm 79, we see a glimpse of why the earth dwellers face this terrible wrath of Almighty God. Psalm 79, 1 through 6, listen to it. O God, the heathen are come into thine inheritance. Thy holy temple have they defiled. They have laid Jerusalem on heaps. The dead bodies of thy servants have they given to be meat unto the fowls of the heaven, the flesh of thy saints unto the beasts of the earth. Their blood have they shed like water round about Jerusalem, and there was none to bury them. We are become a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and a derision to them that are round about us. How long, Lord? Will thou be angry forever? Shall thy jealousy burn like fire? Pour out thy wrath upon the heathen that have not known thee, and upon the kingdoms that have not called upon thy name. The bowl judgments are the answer to this psalmist's prayer, because they are the wrath of God poured out upon the heathen nations. This is exactly what it is. Watch 16:2. And it first went and poured out its vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men, which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. First bowl contains a noisome and grievous sore that will fall upon one specific group of people. The words noisome and grievous mean foul and evil. This is most likely a plague of ulcers. These are very painful abscesses which God strikes these people with. It's very similar to what happened in Egypt in Exodus 9, 8 through 11. Listen to the verses. And the Lord said unto Moses and unto Aaron, take to you handfuls of ashes of the furnace, and let Moses sprinkle it toward heaven in the sight of Pharaoh. And it shall become small dust in all the land of Egypt, and shall be a boil breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast throughout all the land of Egypt. And they took ashes of the furnace and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses sprinkled it up toward heaven. And it became a boil breaking forth with blains, which was blisters upon man and upon beast. And the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boil was upon the magicians and upon all the Egyptians. That happened back in Moses' day. This is very similar to this. Watch the verse again. Watch 16:2. We'll see closely who it falls upon. And it first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast and upon them which worshipped his image. We see here that this is not two groups, but it is the same group of people. The ones who have received the mark of the beast and the ones who worship the beast, they are all one. And at this time, they will experience these ugly open sores. Listen to the words of one unnamed teacher, and I quote, those who once bore the mark of the beast are now visited by marks of God, unquote. Galatians 6:7 says this, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. These people made the choice to receive the mark of the beast and to worship him. So God has seen fit to give to them his mark in the form of a sore that will not heal, which is extremely painful. They worship the image of the beast, and in so doing, they violated the second commandment. Exodus 20:4a says, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. They violated that. And for that reason, because they received the mark of the beast, now they receive a mark from God. which is an open ulcer, which is extremely painful. Watch bowl number two, oceans turn to blood. Watch 16:3. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man. And every living soul died in the sea. This bold judgment will devastate the world. For when the oceans are turned to blood, all life in the oceans will die. The ocean waters will be turned into blood as the blood of a dead man. Something similar will happen in the trumpet judgments, but not to this magnitude. Revelation 8:8-9, we read this. And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. That judgment, that trumpet judgment, will destroy one-third of the life, but the second bowl will destroy all the aquatic life. Watch verse 3 again. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. The fish and the creatures of the sea will pile up on the shores and rot as they lay in the open sunlight. Let me get you to that phrase, the blood of a dead man. The blood of a dead man. Watch the verse again. And the angel, second angel, poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man. Living blood in a human body is the purifier of the body. The blood removes the contaminants that would cause great harm. Leviticus 17:11 tells us that the life of the flesh is in the blood. When a man dies, the blood stops circulating and becomes as one large clot. This is exactly what will happen to the oceans. I believe the oceans will be motionless and the water will be much like clotted blood, thick. Every bit of ocean life will die and rise to the surface, and we can only imagine the stench from the dead aquatic life. This judgment will devastate the world's economy, for much of our food supply comes from the oceans. Ships will no longer function. Submarines will no longer function. So it's going to take away any kind of transport across the seas. It's all going away. Ocean travel will come to a halt. It'll come to a halt. Bowl number three, fresh water turned to blood. Watch 16:4. And a third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. When this bowl was poured forth, all the fresh waters will be turned to blood, the rivers, the lakes, and the springs. It was something similar in Egypt in Exodus 7:17-18. It says, Thus saith the Lord, in this thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will smite with the rod that is in my hand upon the waters which are in the river, and they shall be turned to blood. And the fish that is in the river shall die, and the river shall stink. And the Egyptians shall loathe to drink of the water of the river. Now let me refresh your memory about the trumpet judgments again. Revelation 8:10-11. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon a third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood, and a third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. Now I'm showing you the trumpet judgments because I want you to see that the difference between the two. The trumpet judgments affected one-third of the oceans and the freshwater supply, but the bowls are completely universal. In effect, all the oceans and all the freshwater supplies, not just a third of them. This is universal. This is global. Let me explain the difference. The trumpet judgments are designed to drive men to repentance. But the bowl judgments are the undiluted wrath of God. There will be no drinking water, and no water to clean the festering wounds of the first bowl judgment. There won't be any of that. There are some who would say that this is way too harsh for God to do this to these people. It brings me to 16:5 of Revelation. Watch the verse. And I heard the angel of the waters say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shall be, because thou hast judged thus. This is the answer to any who would accuse God of being too harsh or not being fair. The angel declares that God's judgments are righteous, meaning that they are just. The point is that God has extended his hand of grace all through the tribulation because he's not willing that any should perish. So through the seal judgments and the trumpet judgments, God has extended grace to the world. But over and over, the world has rejected his grace. Repeatedly rejected his grace. There comes a time when God's grace comes to an end. That's what's happening here. It's come to an end. For those who would accuse God of being unjust, they would only need to look to the cross. Only to the cross. In Christ, God has provided a way for every individual to be forgiven. Romans chapter 3, 22 through 26, read as follows. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. God has made a way. God has made a way for man to be forgiven. God demonstrated on the cross 2,000 years ago exactly how he views sin. He hates it to the point that he was willing to sacrifice his own son to die to put away our sins. Watch 16:6 of Revelation. For they, that is the earth dwellers, for they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. Here we see that those living under the wrath of God have not only rejected the gospel that was preached, but they killed the saints and the prophets who carried the message to them. That's the idea here. Verse 6 again, for they have shed the blood of saints and prophets. That's the people that carry this life-saving gospel message. They killed them. God's grace was extended to them, and they killed the prophets and the saints that carried the messages. Now, because they shed the blood of the saints and the blood of the prophets, God gives blood to them to drink. By their own works, they have proven that they are worthy of this judgment. There's a very solemn verse in Isaiah chapter 49, verse 26. Listen to it. I will feed them that oppress thee with their own flesh, and they shall be drunken with their own blood, as with sweet wine, and all flesh shall know that I, the Lord, am the Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Pretty frightening verse. I will feed them that oppress thee with their own flesh. They shall be drunken with their own blood. Watch 16:7. And I heard another out of the altar saying, Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. Here we see an angel from the altar which comes out to testify of the righteousness of God. This angel comes from the altar under which the martyred saints were in Revelation 6. You remember them? Back in the sealed judgments, 6, 9, and 10, they read like this. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw in the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? Listen. These are literal judgments that are coming upon the face of the earth. They are literal. They will unfold just as we read here. The noisome and grievous sores upon man. The ocean being turned to blood as the blood of a dead man, where every living piece of aquatic life will die. The third bowl, the fresh water supplies, turn to blood. Can you imagine what this is going to be like? And next week, whenever we come back, we're going to talk about that fourth bowl, which is an increase of the sun scorching. Okay, so you have this increase in heat. That's global warming, by the way. That next bowl judgment that we're going to look at. But you have the increase of the heat, and there is no water. There's no water, because all the water will have been turned to blood. So there's no water to consume, no water to wash the wounds, no water to soothe the scorching by the sun. The worst time ever to come on the face of the earth. And I say this to you, you don't have to go through that. You're a sinner. And your sin, and with your sin, you have offended God. You have sinned against a holy and a righteous God. And there are consequences for sin. I'm telling you, there are consequences for sin. And sin has to be paid for. And if you die and your sin's not paid for, you will spend eternity separated from God in a place known as the lake of fire because of your sin. But God, in his love for you, he's made a way for you to be saved. He sent his son into this world 2,000 years ago to die on the cross, to pay the penalty, to pay your sin debt, to pay a debt he did not owe because you had a debt that you could not pay. And Jesus came and he died in your place on the cross. He made a way for you to escape eternal damnation, to escape the 7 years of tribulation. He has made a way. Why will you not come to him? Why will you not receive him as your Savior? He is the only way. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You need to trust in him today. I'm out of time. But I want to thank you for joining us on the Joy of Discovery radio program. And again, if you would ever desire a copy of any of our programs, the CDs are free. All you need to do is write to us. Whenever you write, include the date of the program that you desire and write to Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Emler, Pennsylvania, 16655. That's Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Emler, Pennsylvania, 16655. Until we see you around the radio or we see you in church, might you have a blessed week.